Welcome to Secular Yakking.
It's like blogging out loud, a show where we cover current events, politics, and anything secular to yak about.
Want to join the conversation? Lines are open. 704-802-YAK. That's 704-802-YAKK. On today's show, the story of the Mr. Potter Award. Welcome back, Yakkers, and I hope you had a wonderful weekend. Some housekeeping before we get rolling. If you're going to call in, you will be put on hold where you can hear the show, but we won't be able to talk directly to you until we put you on the show. We will say, hello, caller, you're on, and that will be your cue to talk. This will only be temporary until we get the phone system 100% online.
And in some events going on, the Tri-City Free Thinkers will be hosting special guest speaker Greta Christina, the well-known author and public speaker on atheism, sexuality, sex positivity, LGBT issues, politics, culture, and whatever crosses her mind. Greta will discuss what the atheist movement can learn from the LGBT movement. Greta will also be doing a book signing following the talk, and books will be available for purchase at the event. This event is free, and it will be held Tuesday, June 16th at 6 p.m. at the Shiloh Inn International Ballroom at 50 Comstock St. Street in Richland, Washington. For more information, go to tricityfreethinkers.org.
And if you want to see me live in action, I will be at the Ask Us Anything event at Western Washington University on May 28th at 7 p.m. I don't have an exact location on campus yet, but I will update the Facebook page once I do.
If you have any events you want us to plug, just drop us an email, podcast@secularyakking.com, or leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK.
That's YAKK. And in the news this week, coming to us from Rowan County, North Carolina, a U.S. District Judge has ruled that the Rowan County Board of Commissioners' prayer practice unconstitutional and ordered the board to permanently cease the prayers. Judge James A. Beattie said the board's practice of having commissioners lead the prayers at meetings creates a coercive setting and violates the Establishment Clause of the Constitution. The prayers were overwhelmingly Christian and had a request for the public to join prayers by the commissioners.
I think this is great news.
I like this news. It really is. So we do have prayers in a lot of city and county councils.
Which I disagree with.
We do have prayers in our state government, and we do have opening prayers in our federal government.
As well as I agree with all those, no matter what your religious prayer is.
However, this board specifically stated that if you are going to have prayers, and this is related to the Greece versus Galloway issue from last year, if you're going to have prayers in public meetings, you have to let everybody join the fun.
Right. It's an all or nothing thing.
Right. Which is why I am a secular invocator, because I can do that.
Right. You go and you do your invocations, not a prayer. But either way, I really think it's the whole separation church and state period.
And speaking of invocations that I do give, I will be in Clark County June 2nd, 7 p.m.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
I thought it was at 6.
Is it 6? Well, I'll make sure everything is updated.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it's not at 7.
No, I'm pretty sure it's 6.
Okay,
now
that's
I'm
a long
questioning
drive, but
it.
That's okay. And in some other good news, secular celebrants in Oregon may soon be able to legally perform weddings if a bill proposed by Representative Mitch Greenlick and supported by the Center for Inquiry passes. House Bill 3483 would add organizations whose members subscribe to secular values, beliefs, and practices to the list of those currently authorized to officially solemnize marriages in the state. This bill is on its way to the Oregon House floor for a vote.
I think that's really good and, you know, well past its time.
Right. So also I'm a celebrant.
Yeah.
So I do weddings as well and funerals and such. But what this does is right now in Oregon, humanist celebrants through the Humanist Society can do marriages. They can solemnize marriages.
Right.
But any other non-religious entity like the Center for Inquiry who does certify celebrants can't. So they can't perform weddings for their own members of CFI.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But here's the weirdest part. So if you go online and go to the Universal Life Church, you can pay $25 and get your ordination, print off your form, and guess what? You can do weddings in Oregon.
And I somewhat disagree with that because it's just a loophole, which is why I'm glad you went and did the whole take a class and do the you know, the full throttle thing.
Right, yeah, I'm fully vetted through the Humanist Society, so that's a plus. But Brian Harvey, who is the president, or the director, sorry, of CFI Portland, gave his testimony to the committee and had this to say.
CFI's methods and values, I don't know if you guys have gotten into this a little bit, but they play the same role in our members' lives that religious methods and values play in the lives of adherents. As such, CFI maintains a secular celebrant program so that for our members, occasions such as weddings and funerals can be marked by expressions and ceremonies appropriate to our beliefs. Several members of the Portland branch have graduated from this program and are certified by CFI as secular celebrants. The Oregon Revised Statute Section 106.120 currently specifies who may solemnize a marriage in Oregon, that is, perform the final steps that unite two persons who hold marriage licenses. Presently, aside from certain government employees, Oregon law only allows marriages to be solemnized by religious congregations and their clergy. Solemnization by a government employee, and I apologize, I came in a little late. I don't know if this has been solemnization by, say, a judge or a county clerk does come with an additional $105 solemnization fee, which is separate from the fee for a marriage license.
So thank you, Brian, because that's an awesome testimony. There's actually five or six more minutes of that if you want to go find it and check it out. I think it's on the CFI's website. But this is awesome. If they can get to where secular celebrants can do weddings, it just moves everything forward to be more like Washington State, where I live, where if you're ordained, you're ordained.
Right. And there are so many couples out there that are looking for that just non-religious ceremony.
Right. And even, say, your friends, you would be able to solemnize your friends' weddings.
Right.
So I think this is a great step forward for Oregon, and I hope it passes. If you live in Oregon, contact your legislators and let them know you want this to pass.
Yes.
And in Pew Research lately, the Pew Research releases a 2014 religious landscape study with some surprisingly positive news to secular citizens. I read the report, so you really don't have to, but I suggest you have a look anyway because it's some really interesting reading if you can slog through 202 pages of study material.
That's a lot of pages.
Thankfully, I love reading study material.
Yes, you do. You love the research.
Yeah, I love the research. Some interesting highlights from this. The Christians in America down almost 8% from 78.5 to 70.6.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. And for the first time since the study was started in 2007, America is no longer a majority Protestant country, going from 51.3 to 46.5%. And most encouraging, at least from our perspective, is the unaffiliated and atheist numbers. Unaffiliated up from 16.1 to 22.8%. And atheism nearly doubled from 1.6 to 3.1%.
Which is big.
That's really big. It's actually bigger than the combined numbers of Jewish and Muslim faith in this report.
Yeah. In such a short time frame, truly. I mean, right. That's a pretty big jump.
In what? 7 years. So yeah, we've gone from a major minority, right? Someone that's barely even counted.
Right.
To now we're actually bigger than two others that do make a difference.
Right. And you even see it in our entertainment, and you know, you're seeing more of that on television and.
Right. So, and the best part about this for me is at least the numbers of atheists have gone up, which means one, we have more atheists in the country. Two, we have more people willing to identify as atheists in
this
country.
That's the biggest thing. They're actually willing to say it and not hide from it.
Right. So that now that we have these numbers moving forward, that atheism visibility movement is going to just kind of start steamrolling more and more forward.
Well, I also think with, you know, all of this just basically secular, free thinking, non-religious, it's really showing the, you know, at least from Christians' point of view, if not actually most religions, at how aggressive they've become in the recent past, if
right.
You've noticed.
They're very aggressive.
Yeah, there's been a lot more aggression towards, you know, hanging on. And obviously that kind of goes with the whole fact that there's getting to be so many more non-thinkers than there have been. They're slipping.
Yeah.
I mean.
Free thinkers.
Non-thinkers.
Free thinkers. We're
please
not non-thinkers.
Everybody think.
Please do think. Think for yourself. But I what you're saying is about the aggression is actually true. There's mm-hmm. a couple groups out there that are specifically pushing to put In God We Trust on every government building they can get a hold of. If you look at the current run of presidential candidates, they're seeing who can out-Christian the other.
Yes. Yes, I mean, they are.
They're saying, well, this one's a Catholic. That one's a Mormon. You can't vote for those guys. They're not Christian enough.
Right.
Right. And we got these guys out there who are just so overtly religious. It's like, my religion is going to be everything to me in this campaign. There will be nothing but that.
Right. That's my big thing I'm standing on. I mean, vote for me because of, you know,
they're basing
my religion.
Foreign policy on their Christianity. And that's not a good idea.
No. And for me, I just don't believe that it belongs in government at all.
It absolutely does not. I mean, the First Amendment very clearly states that. That we're
well, it's kind of interesting how we keep ignoring that part.
Yeah, well, some people do. And moving on to where we have aggressive religion. Third atheist blogger killed in Bangladesh attack this week.
Gosh,
Anata Bijoy Das was murdered on Tuesday as he walked to work. Das is the third atheist blogger to be killed in Bangladesh since the beginning of the year. Just like Avijit Roy and Washkir Rahman, he was attacked with knives and machetes. All three are listed on a hit list from the Defenders of Islam Bangladesh, according to the 2014 report from Reporters Without Borders. This is a hit list that contains 84 names, and most of them are secular activists and writers in the area.
That's just unbelievable. I mean, truly. I mean, in America, we don't deal with that on a regular basis. So, I mean,
we don't deal with that at all in America.
Well, no, not anything to that extent by any means, which, you know, to be outspoken, I think, is a lot harder in those countries than it is
here. Absolutely
is. I mean, it's very frightening.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes you question, would you be able to be so
right.
outspoken?
And it's very funny because now it's not funny. That's not quite what I meant. It's very interesting that what we do here as being outspoken atheists is so different from what they do there. Das's blog was mostly about science and critical thought.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't going against Islam. It didn't attack Islam at all.
But it's the science and things like that that leads to your free thinking and, you know, slipping away from their religion.
Right. But like I said last week, when your religion is insulted, you don't start by killing people. You start by a discussion about your religion. You don't go kill people because they talked about your religion in a not so nice way. I mean, that's what happened to Avijit Roy and Washkir Rahman. They were a very, if I remember their blogs right, it's been a while, but they were absolutely anti-Muslim, and they really wanted to get the secular movement going.
Right.
But to be hacked to death by machetes.
Just out in public, too.
Yeah, just out in public.
Right,
and no one,
on the street.
Here's the sad part. Not one person does anything. I mean, I realize there's this idea that, oh my, this guy's getting hacked with machetes, I can't get in there. I might get hit myself.
Right.
But no one does anything at all. No rocks were thrown. I mean, at least that.
Right.
But I don't know if these guys are going to be caught or not because they were all wearing masks.
Of course. You know, they want to do that, but they can't do it. You know, they have to stay anonymous while they do it.
Right.
You know, kind of cowardly.
Right. And it's ridiculous. And if your religion is telling you to kill people when they talk bad about your religion, you have a pretty shitty religion.
Well, and it's very flawed in this fact that, you know, you don't feel strong enough in your own faith to handle people speaking against it, you know?
Right. So that's another thing about those religions. I don't know. They believe they're incredibly faithful by
yes.
doing this, but it makes me feel like they don't believe enough to defend their faith without violence.
Well, that's exactly how I was thinking. It makes me think that they don't feel strong enough in their own faith to stand on their own two feet.
Right. And we're going to move on from that lovely report to another lovely report. A second quake hit Nepal near Kathmandu earlier this week. The 7.3 follows the 7.8 that devastated the area just 2 weeks ago that killed over 8,000.
That's terrible.
As of the writing of this particular report, there had been 65 deaths and nearly 2,000 injured. I'm sure the numbers are a bit higher. Now, the Nepalese were just beginning to return to their homes and start rebuilding. Experts are expecting more aftershocks in the near future.
Yeah, I've actually heard that a lot of them are going and putting up tents out in fields because they're terrified of being near buildings and
right.
structures.
I mean, half of those structures probably ready to fall down already. And another, even half the magnitude of that is just going to, well, even if you go down to 7.2, that's like half the magnitude of 7.3, if I know how the magnitude thing works.
Right, yeah.
But it's going to get even more dangerous there if there are more quakes.
Yeah, there's been a since that we've had a couple little ones here.
Yeah, well, we do live on the Ring of Fire, so.
Yeah.
But the Foundation Beyond Belief and the Humanist Disaster Recovery Team is raising funds on their website to assist the Women's Federation Foundation of Nepal with their efforts in helping clean up and recover after these quakes. Links will be in the show notes for that. And it's foundationbeyondbelief.org/HDR drive. I encourage everyone that can could give something to this because that's a wonderful organization. It does amazing things.
Every little bit helps.
And every little bit helps.
Yeah.
In a recent video, a high school freshman is shown being made to destroy his game consoles for failing four classes. His father repeatedly told him to pick up the effing hammer, and hit his games while the boy cries and tries to explain that it's his teacher's fault.
I am so appalled by this. Just the parenting aspect of it alone is just unbelievable. The messages that this sends in so many different ways.
Yeah, I mean, the message that I got out of the video when I watched it is this poor kid, right? He may be failing in his classes, and yes, it may be his fault.
Right.
But he's being told that his punishment is to destroy something, which leads me to believe that it's possible in his future that his idea of retribution and punishment is going to hinge around violence.
Right, exactly. So meaning as an adult, if something is not going your way the way that you want it to be, violence is the way to handle it. I mean, that's what he is teaching this child. You know, as a father, he's not happy that the child is failing his classes. So we're going to do something, you know, violent to retaliate about this. But aside from all that, if you think about it, the man paid for all that equipment.
Right, he paid for it.
It makes no sense.
It's likely he will pay for it again.
Of course, future.
You know, if he decides to buy him another
set. He's only
set.
A freshman, so you know he will.
It's possible. But this just follows a string of viral videos similar to this. I remember last year the guy shot his daughter's laptop on video because she talked about him on Facebook.
Yeah, and so he goes and pretty much does the same thing, basically, with the video.
He pulls the trigger himself. And again, at that time, I was like, well, that's a great lesson.
I hope you meant that sarcastically.
Yeah, of course I did. But we just see these strings of these parent-shaming videos. You got your kids holding up, I did this wrong, with a sign, right?
Right.
That's shaming
them.
It is parent bullying is what it is.
It's exactly what this is. And the poor boy, this freshman, he was absolutely in tears. And what was it? By the last console, he could not do it. And because his dad had him hitting it with a sledgehammer, all of them. And by the last one, the boy was like, I can't do it.
Yeah.
And the dad a couple times said, you know, I'll do it. You know, if you don't do it, I will.
I have a feeling the dad actually went and destroyed it.
Well, he had cut the video off when the boy just he couldn't do it.
Right. And I just don't think that's very good parenting. You're not teaching your child how to interact in society by doing that.
No.
I mean, what's going to happen in the future when this kid has a girlfriend that, you know, dumps him pretty horribly? What's he going to do?
Right. It's another, you know, you can't handle the answer you're getting, the result that you're getting. So I need to do some violent act to make me feel better.
Right. And what this father should have done is went and sat down with his child and his teachers and said, what is going on? How do we fix this?
Absolutely.
And if he's failing at this time of year, this isn't the first sign of it. I can guarantee that.
Well, and regardless, I mean, you have to, punishment is fine, but it needs to fit the crime.
Right.
And the first and foremost, like you said, should be we sit down with the teachers and we work out how we fix this and what's causing it.
And if it is the games, which it's possible that the games were an issue.
Take them away.
You take them away until the grades improve. Once the grades improve to a point where you're satisfied, so okay, now we'll have limited access because we know the games were the problem.
Right.
You can play on the weekends. You can play after your homework's done.
Even if he feels he wants to take him out of all the games till the end of the school year would be fine. But to smash them and on top of that, make the boy do it himself.
Right. There's
many messages in there that was it's terrible to parenting, which I say thousands of times over.
Sorry about the technical difficulties. I'll work that out this week and we'll get it running again.
Yeah. You always have technical difficulties, especially when you're starting in the beginning and, you know, connecting phones and whatnot. It's tricky business.
Yeah, like I said, they're not running 100%, so I figured I'd give it a shot.
Yeah.
But we were talking about this. It was a viral video, right?
Yes, and the discipline and action and how it should have gone.
Yeah, I really think that this it should have gone a different way. But hopefully, he's the parent. It's his deal. I mean, we can say all we want about it, but he's still the parent.
Right, and hopefully in the future, you know, there'll be less of these videos.
Right. So now I think we're going to move into the main part of the show, which is the Potter Award for today. So I thought I would talk about the history of the Potter Award and how it came to be. As many of you know, I am very adamant about the In God We Trust plaques going up in city and county councils. A few months ago, Clark County, Washington, was considering this very resolution. And a bunch of us from Humanists of Washington and all over CFI Portland and just all over the area got together, went down, had a wonderful rally, and we went in to give our opinion on what the whole thing was about. And the secular community came together very well and spoke out against it. And one of the things that we noticed was counselor Tom Melke. Now, Tom Melke's, what did you call him? Or what did you say about him?
I said he's just smug looking. Right. He's very smug looking. He has this.
And
smug
I looked
look.
At him and I said, you know who he looks like? He looks like Mr. Potter.
And
from It's a Wonderful Life. And I was like, oh, and he kind of acts like him too.
Yes, as soon as you described that to me, I said, that is exactly it. That's him.
So I didn't really think of much of it after that. It was kind of like, oh, Mr. Potter's talking again. And
kind of a joke.
Right. And even on the next couple ones, every time I saw him talk, every time I saw his picture, I say, hey, look, it's Mr. Potty. Right. So that's what it came to be. And then I got into the In God We Trust plaques a little more. And I thought about it. And it's like, oh, there's a lot of jerks like that out there doing this.
So many doing just, you know.
Just being smug assholes while we're talking to them, just smiling at us like, hey, I won. You're going to lose. I don't care what you do.
And it's my way, no highway
right.
option.
And it's the Potter way.
Yes.
Right? So I said, you know what? We're going to be doing a podcast soon. Why don't I come up with this really cool idea for an award to give to these really smug and pretty much pompous politicians doing stupid stuff
right.
and being pottery about it.
Right.
So that's how this all came to be.
And did you say from Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful Life?
Yeah, it's Mr. Potter from It's a Wonderful
Life.
Yes,
just in case no one's familiar with Mr. Potter.
Right. But we're going to talk about this week's Potter Award.
And who will the nominee be?
So, Board of County Commissioners Carol Mitchum said the invocations will remain in Lincoln County, but there will be no non-Christian prayers on his watch.
And now this is Lincoln County, North Carolina?
Lincoln County, North Carolina. My home state.
Unfortunately.
So, I'm going to attempt the Southern accent. I haven't done it in years.
Oh, this is a mistake.
So, here goes. A Muslim, he comes here to say a prayer. I'm going to tell him to leave. I have no use for those people. They don't need to be here praying to Allah or whoever the hell they pray to. I'm not going to listen to a Muslim pray.
And this is what he had said.
Yeah, this is a direct quote from him.
Wow.
So, and it makes me wish that I lived near him so I could go apply for an invocation and sue the shit out of him.
Well, if he turned you down, absolutely.
Well, he will, right?
He can't do that.
But you watch, he will. This is why he's going to win. He won the Potter Award this week.
Oh, absolutely.
Because he's just being a complete ass about this.
Yes.
Because it's the Christian way only. We're a Christian nation.
And it's very bold, actually.
It is very bold. I mean, that's a lawsuit waiting to happen. I hope a city has a good lawyer on retainer because it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
I'm expecting the Satanic Temple to be number one on the list.
And he's a chairman. And what's sad is he knows the rules, but yet he's still bold enough to do this.
Right. So that is exactly why.
And arrogant enough to do this. I mean, to know, being in the position that he's in, he knows what he can and can't do, but he's still arrogant enough to make this statement.
Right. So that's why he is this week's Mr. Potter awardee.
Mr. Potter.
I got to get that right. So if you have any suggestions for Mr. Potter Award nominees, send us a tweet, Facebook, or email us at podcast@secularyakking.com. That's yakking with two Ks. And that is all the yakking we have today. Join us again next week for more news and, of course, the Potter Award.
And we will most definitely have our phones fixed for the next episode. See you next week.
And remember, the United States was certainly not founded as a Christian nation.
Absolutely.
Thanks, y'all. Have a great night.